Well, Father, Lord, we just thank you so much that you're bringing us all together again, once again, Lord, to glorify you, Lord. That's our call in life is to glorify you, and that your work through us glorifies you, Lord, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that tonight is going to be a special night because you're in charge and we're being led by the Holy Spirit, every one of us is. And Father, we thank you that you're going to guide us into praising you with our testimonies and praise reports. And Lord, we know that when we pray, all of us together, when we pray and we believe, Lord, it's going to happen, praise God. And we've seen it happen time and time again, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we praise you, Father, that tonight people are going to get changed because we pray in it, we believe in it, and we're thanking you for it, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And in the name of Jesus, we're not going to have any kind of communications problems tonight at all. I command them to cease and to bind you up and cast you off of these wires and wirelesses and everything else that's involved in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that the devil can't interfere tonight in this fellowship. Thank you, Father. Amen. Well, all right. First thing is, does anybody have any prayer requests?
I do.
Okay, Karen.
Okay. I'd like to say big praise, but I'm having trouble with pain and trouble functioning, and it's getting kind of scary because I'm alone. So I need God to do what He's done so many times in my life.
Okay, what's going on?
Arthritis.
Arthritis? Well,
yeah.
You ready to get rid of it?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's fixing to go.
I'm game.
Okay.
Yes, all right. Lord.
All right. Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we command that spirit of arthritis off of Karen right now in the name of Jesus. You go right now in Jesus' name. Pain, you go right now in Jesus' name. And, Father, we thank you that she has completely been healed. Wait a minute, Karen.
Yeah.
Do you have any kind of unforgiveness in your heart toward anybody?
You know, I've been really searching it back and forth. I don't think so.
Okay. Sometimes we forgive from the mind. We forgive from the mouth and the mind, but the heart sometimes still harbors some unforgiveness. And the way to find out is when somebody's name is brought up, do you feel anger, or somebody's is mentioned and you feel uneasiness in your spirit, then that's still, you've got some unforgiveness. But if not, then we can pray. God's going to heal you.
I believe so. I've been really working on that on a very deep level. So,
okay.
Yeah, to the best of my ability, I really get it and I understand, and you know, lots of sorrow for even any of that stuff in my life, and you know, been praying through with people about it, and so and repented.
Okay, well then, from now on, it's by your faith and our faith hooked with your faith that you're healed, right? In the name of Jesus, we command every cell, every muscle, every joint to be restored as new right now. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Karen is completely healed and delivered from that spirit of arthritis and any kind of thing that goes along with it. We command you to go as well in Jesus' name. Swelling, you go down. All kinds of fatigue in the joints, you go down in the name of Jesus. You leave in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for your restoring power upon Karen right now in Jesus' name. You believe that, Karen?
I do believe it.
Okay, then it's so.
Okay.
Thank you, Father. Everybody in here believes with us that it's gone, and we're going to be listening for the great report. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Amen.
Thank you,
Father. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Anybody else need prayer or would like to pray for someone? Well, all right. What about praise reports or testimonies? Let's get some of those going here.
Michael?
Yeah, Liana.
Hey. You know, we a couple of weeks ago, we had a teleconference and all about diet. And I thought that was pretty neat because, you know, there's a big revelation out on the table these days. And, you know, I hear a lot of feedback. There's something that I... am I coming in clear?
Do you come what?
Am I coming in clearly?
Oh, yes, ma'am. You certainly are. Yes, ma'am. You're doing fine.
I'm just going to go ahead and ignore what I hear and just say what I have to say. But words are food, and we don't want our tables to be a trap and a snare, whether they be physical or spiritual. And I know of a really powerful, it's like a documentary, but it's just really powerful. It's called Forks Over Knives. And if nobody's seen it, I highly recommend that you watch it. And this is in direct connection with this lady's arthritis. It's in direct connection with heart disease and with cancers of all kinds. And it all, when we watched it, we're like sitting there, mouth agape. Now, I want my faith to stand in the power of God. So ultimately, I'm not going to be, you know, resting my trust in the perfect diet for healing. So, but to glorify God in my body, this was a powerful thing to view. And basically what they were trying to say is the further away you get from animal protein and dairy, the healthier you're going to be. And I noticed that when I went away from having the majority of my daily meal with animal proteins and dairy, my symptoms of arthritis started to go. My overall health came back. It sprang back. And why would that be? Why should eating meat, I mean, that the Lord calls clean, you know, it's not a sin, but it's also not the healthiest because the body can't break it down and digest it nearly as good as it can plant-based proteins and carbs. So, and in the studies that they had, they, in the research, they discovered, I think it was in World War II where the Germany went in, the Nazis went in, and they confiscated, one of the countries that they were taking over. And when they took all of their livestock, which, you know, produced the dairy and produced the meat to sustain their troops, their incidence of heart disease and cancers and diabetes, all of that went sky high. And the people they confiscated it from, their incidences of diseases and sicknesses went way, way down. And, it's just been amazing the difference in the health when, you know, the further that you get away from so much of the animal-based proteins and dairies, the healthier you feel, and it really... It's amazing in the difference of the way you feel now. I'm all for grass-fed animals and organic meats, but they're putting like neurotoxins and growth hormones and all kinds of things. And I know we can bless our food, and I'm good with that. You know, I'm going to be drinking radiated water with the rest of y'all and breathing that radiated air. And I'm going to say God bless it, and I do it right now, you know. I'll take a glass of water out of the tap, and I'll have God restore it better than new, you know. But I'm just saying, we don't want to use our grace and just eat a bunch of junk either, you know. Diet does affect the body, and so that was just my little offering for anybody that's interested, that wants to up their diet and feel better. It really made a difference in my life the further I went from animal proteins and dairies. And that's my little tip for y'all. And it's Forks Over Knife, the documentary. It's really pretty neat. Other than that, I did also have a testimony. We're all in a state of warfare of some kind right now. I'm kind of in a state where I have testings that come upon me of symptoms at night, and I just hold my ground, and I just say my food is to do your will, so I can be a revelation of the Lord's will in the earth, you know. And he sustains me by his power, and I relinquish myself completely over to him and his power, and however he moves through me each day, that's how I move. So I was feeling some symptoms, and I kept having to move around to get comfortable, and I said, Lord, you want to take care of me, you know, like UBM says, like a little baby, you know, with all my needs met. And I can't get comfortable. I'm having these symptoms. I'm having these pains. And I don't believe that's my flesh. I don't believe I'm one spiritual flesh with these symptoms. And I can't walk in agreement with this. I can't receive this in the temple because it doesn't look like you. And so there was a little symptom in the back, and it was like, oh gosh, it hurts. And I kept moving around, and I said, hey, wait a minute, you know, I don't have to move. It has to move. I'm letting my faith stand in the power of God. So in Jesus' name, I commanded it to move, and I just started rejoicing, and it starts to move. And I said, that's right. You better go. I ain't going. I'm not moving. You got to move, you know. So it's like playing chicken with the symptoms, you know, and you're looking at the area that you got the issue, and then you're eyeing it down like, no, I'm not moving. You're going to be the one to move, not me, because I'm standing in agreement with Christ, and the house divided can't stand. You're either going to side with the mind of the flesh coming into agreement with the symptom, or you're going to come into agreement with the word of God, which to say, you know, get behind me, Satan. So I was rejoicing because I was siding with the Lord, and I was rejoicing knowing that he really did it. And then the symptoms started to move back when I stopped moving and letting the power of God, you know, be the force behind his word that he promised me. Basically, it's just letting the word come in power. And it was really, you know, forcing out all of that, and I was just rejoicing. So anyway, that was my testimony, my little recommendation for that movie, which I think y'all enjoy if you watch it. All right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Bye.
Yes.
My wife at the clinic where she worked at, the forks over knives started making the rounds there at the clinic, and I think one of the doctors started going kind of veggie, at least trying to, and a number of other staff kind of went in that direction, but I haven't seen it myself. I haven't seen, well, I've seen a little bit of it because I think we got it, but it sounds like it's a pretty good film.
Amen.
Was all about the fact that the body can't process and break down animal proteins and dairies very efficiently. So when you're eating, you're going to notice that you're getting a lot of food, but it's not turning off the sensors in the stomach, like you've been satiated. Your body is still in hunger mode, even though you sat and ate a big meal, because it's not been satiated, because it can't break down those proteins very fast. So you find yourself eating more, and since the sensors haven't been turned off in your stomach, then you find yourself binge eating and gravitating towards sweets and things like that. But when you're going towards fruits and vegetables, you can eat all you want of that, and you're getting satiated, and your vitality is coming back, and that sensor in your stomach is finally getting turned off, you know, and you stop. Why people that are plant-based just drop a bunch of weight and their symptoms die down, because they just start burning fuel like crazy, and they're getting satiated, and their nutritional needs are being met through plant-based proteins instead of animals. So it was really a blessing for me and my mom and dad, especially because, you know, they were having symptoms, and when we went plant-based, you know, it all just kind of disappears. So anyway.
Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't pertain to turkey and dressing and giblet gravy, does it?
No, of course. You know what?
I hope not.
If you know, we're doing organic turkey only because, you know, that they're free-range turkey, because we don't want the neurotoxins and the growth hormones. They pump it full of the growth hormones, and it's to fatten them up quick. But if they're pumping all that into the turkey or into our meat supply, then it fattens us up quick and it keeps us fat and undernourished. So we went ahead and got an organic one, but you know what? I was telling Mom, there's no way I'm going to trust in man's food supply, even at its best, its organic best. You know, I still, when I eat something, even if it's organic, I say, Father, thank you for restoring this organic meal as if it were, you know, fresh out of your garden, and that it will also give me what I need to do your will and bless it. And I have every confidence that he will do that. But you see, when I can eat all I want of fruits and vegetables and feel good about it and glorify him in my body, and that little button's getting turned off, and then I don't have cravings for sweets, I feel like I've done all I can do to glorify him in my body, and I'm feeling better, and I feel vibrant, and it, to me, it's just a better offering. But no, eating meats and stuff isn't a sin, and I still eat fish, and I have eggs, and, you know, little things like that. But for the most part, I try to, you know, stay as far away from the animal-based dairy and the protein as possible, just because it makes me feel better, and I feel like my table glorifies the Lord. But that's according to my good conscience, you know.
Hey, man, I was just kidding, of course. But, yeah, fresh fruits and fresh vegetables is the
hear
best
you
way to
over
go.
Here, and I laugh. You can't hear me because I'm muted, but I'm laughing with it.
Yeah, I'm getting an echo back some kind of way.
Hey, Michael, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a, there's a buzz. Are you on your wireless, or is there a fan in the background or something?
Nope. What I hear is somebody is not muted, and I'm getting feedback.
All right.
Yeah, I'm hearing it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not hearing the feedback, but I'm hearing like a slight buzz. Like right now, I don't hear it. Did you just mute yourself?
No.
Yeah, I'm going to stop this call.
All right, Malcolm, what is that noise in the background at Michael's?
I don't know what the source is. It's just kind of a...
How would you explain it? You're a hammer.
Boy, is he a hammer.
It kind of sounds like, you know, it sounds like 60 hertz, but it's not. It's kind of comes and goes based on the noise quieting of somebody's mic.
Yeah, I think it's just feedback from somebody opening up their mic.
Hey, Tim, maybe you need a new microphone.
Hey, Michael, he's got new microphones and headsets strode all over his yard out there.
I know, that's a joke. he's
got Best Buy beat by a mile. Well, all right. Praise God. Yeah, good eating is good for you. I still hear some feedback. You know, Tim, when you come in as an administrator, sometimes that messes things up. So I don't know if that's what it is or not, but it's not bothering me.
All right, I'll go back out and come back in.
Well, all right. Anybody else got a good testimony or praise report?
Hey, I don't hear that buzzing with Tim gone.
Oh, there. Okay. Well, when both of us come in as administrator, I know we've had in the past we've had problems. So when we need to come in, one administrator and then the other one that comes in, you know, like y'all do. That's the way we should do it. But sometimes we get messed up. No biggie. It didn't bother me. All right. Let's see. Another testimony. Praise report. You know, we've been getting some great warnings from the Lord. And, like I've told you before, when we get those warnings, we go into prayer mode. And when we go into prayer mode, spiritual warfare mode, I should say, we get the victory. Every time we get the victory, praise God. We've had some warnings here in the last just a day or so, and of some things that were going to happen that the Lord warned us about, and we've been praying for them. We prayed for them in our prayer time this morning, and we've been praying for them this afternoon, and we finally got some victory. Praise God. So we know that God will honor our prayers, because the prayers of a righteous man availeth much, doesn't it? So I just wanted to give a praise report. Thank you, Lord, for honoring our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for bringing and doing this mighty work that you've done this evening. And we thank you for that, Lord, for turning things around to your good, Lord. And we just praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Well, you know, Michael, even as you began to speak about it, there was an impression all over it. Also began to speak or swallowing up whatever.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Something's going on there, Leona. You were breaking up, but I understood what you said, and I appreciate it. Thank you. So much.
All right. Should I also come out and go back in, too?
You sound great then. You sounded fine.
All right. Great.
Mm-hmm. Michael, I should probably say I've been seeing a lot of 444 all over the place.
Yep. That's one of them. 444 and 144.
What is 444? Because the Lord gave me a spiritual dream last year. And I heard literally the numbers 444, but I had a 5 added onto the end of it. Now,
Well, that's five is grace, of course.
Okay, well, what I associated, because the dream was very spiritual, was that what's coming to an end is the strength of the arm of the flesh. Anybody not trusting in the power of God for all things is going to be in the outer court. So the Lord's wrapping something up, and those that are going in, kind of what I associated ultimately with it, because that was the revelation running through me at the time. So it was the weakening of those that are strong in their own natural abilities, their gifts, or still alive to their perceptions, their vain imaginations, or their natural senses. We need to into a rest and say, not my will, but thine be done in all things. These are the ones that are going in. You're not at rest in what I just said, then you have to just make that your food, to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. My food is to do thy will. And when the rest has withered up and died away, which is your will be done in the earth, then, you know, as soon as basically you rest and say, not my will, but thine be done, you're already in. You just don't want to wake up to the old man, you know. You want to, you know, pretty much go to sleep in Christ. You want to be sown in weakness so he can raise you in power, you know, when that time comes upon us. Because if you're found in that old man, it's going to get thrown into a crucible. It's got to be purified off somehow. So it's a mad dash to get out of self in all ways.
Amen. Well, 444, according to the list that I have, is the Word. And if somebody else has got something else, please come through. And they reference John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So 444 is the Word, and that's the Word living in us. And that's, and Leona's right. The Lord has been stressing. He has been hammering it home that we need to get rid of these spots and blemishes, and he's doing it. He's the one that's doing it. All we have to do is acknowledge that he's doing it and believing that he's doing it and to do the things that he's asked us to do. And he'll take it out of him.
Michael?
Yes.
I'd like to say something else. Boy, I'm talking a lot all of a sudden, but there was something that the Lord had opened my eyes to after that, and that was when we read the Word, when we hear a word spoken to us in the Spirit, hallelujah, hallelujah, we receive that word in power. It's not for us to receive the word of God, pull ourselves up by our bootstrap, and try to apply it to our life. We say, I received that word by the power of the Holy Spirit, and now I allow you to work that word in and through me. And what the Lord does is he works it by stealth. You know, the kingdom of God is like a little bit of leaven, you know. The leaven works kind of secretly, and you can't feel it, you can't perceive it. You just have to believe that if the Lord said these words, that he is moving through you by his power to perform these words. So this is why when we begin to rejoice as if the Lord is moving by his power in us, by his word, and you're receiving, you become very joyful, because you know that every word that you believe has found its home in God, and that's the only way it's going to give a living answer to your issue. And when you begin to rejoice and say, oh, thank you, Lord, that I can lay all of these issues, whether they be situationally, relationship-wise, or finances, it doesn't matter. The Lord's already met the need, exceeded the need, and given gifts. But you only receive those gifts when you ascend. The Lord ascended on high and then gave gifts to men. So when you lift him up in praises, believing that that word's been raised from the dead and has the power to, you know, minister to every single one of your needs, that is when your answers come. But when you keep your issues earthbound and under the situation, the Lord can't give gifts as easily as he'd like to. And you're relating too much with the situation and not enough with the fact that he answered it. So as you live in praise to God and rejoicing, then you become light, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You become light as a feather, and you begin to ascend. You begin to go up higher, and Christ in you is getting lifted up, and then the gifts start to pour, and then you start seeing results. But you can't be moved. And when the enemy, you know, pokes you with that spear of the situation, you just say, hey, you know what? Good. Let me die. live in his life, you know, by faith in Jesus' name. This thing, you know, like the Pharaoh's sorcerers, they threw down their snakes and they tried to swallow up the Lord, but you know, they can't swallow you up unless you let them. If you're gonna let the situation or the circumstance swallowed Christ in you up, then they've got Christ in you held captive, and you can't praise the Lord for coming to your rescue in all things. But when you praise him, then you're loosing him on the situation. You're releasing him to go ahead and swallow them up, and you're victorious now in Jesus' name. So we've got to be the ones to lead the way now. We've got to be able to swallow things up every step of the way and not take.
Amen.
We've got to be the one to throw ourselves on all the swords and not be hurt that the enemy would try to throw at us and not flinch. We just say, "You'll get behind me, Satan." You know, all the day long we have these shadows trying to threaten us or say, no, I'm still alive and I'm ruling and reigning in this situation. I'm saying, no, you're not, because you're defying the living God. My God says he supplies for all of my needs. And, you know, according to his riches, I mean, I just start quoting scriptures, and I say that word's not dead. It was raised from the dead. That word's alive and powerful, and I swallow you up, you liar. Christ be glorified, and I know that I have in the hands of the living God, and I just rest, and it'll get answered when it get answered. And if it doesn't get answered when you want it to, then die to your timing and come alive to the Lord's timing, because his timing is perfect. You're here to die, not say, Lord, meet all my needs, because they might not be his needs, and he wants you to live to please him, not yourself. Amen.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Anybody have a testimony, praise report, or something they'd like to share? Comments or whatever.
Well, Michael, this is Al in Birmingham.
Hey, Al.
How you doing?
I am blessed, brother. You?
I am blessed also. I just like to say what sister just finished testifying to. It's really nothing too much to add to that. Because that is the key of walking after the spirit and not after the flesh. And I find myself, and I'm quite sure it's the same way with, you know, all believers, is the battle between the flesh and the spirit, the war that goes on between the flesh and the spirit. And I know personally myself, a lot of times I felt that I was in line with Word of God and doing what God would have me to do, but actually I was doing it through my flesh, and hopefully, prayerfully, I'll learn to, I'll realize, I'll have the continual revelation of walking after the Spirit and recognize that I died with Christ, and now that the life that I live is my faith in Jesus Christ, because it's no longer I that live. And these are the truths that the flesh battles against me so vigorously to keep me from staying conscious of that at all times. Because when I'm in my flesh, God is not accepting that. Even as sincere as I may be in my heart. But I've got to recognize that no flesh shall glory in his presence. So when anything is coming through my carnal mind, it's not pleasing God. It's got to come through my born-again spirit that is Christ Jesus. That's in connection, that commune with Christ, where he lives through me. And as long as I don't really walk in that 24/7, then I got a problem, even though I may not recognize it. I got a problem. I got an issue that has to be dealt with, and that's where suffering is the fruit. Long suffering is the fruit of the Spirit, because when my flesh is persecuted, as uncomfortable as it may be, you know, it's good for me. It's good for who I truly am in Christ Jesus. And so I can't just keep on beating my head up against the wall trying to do something in my flesh that just is not going to happen. Not going to happen. As long as Satan could continue to deceive me that my flesh some kind of way is going to get better, and I keep trying to do it in my flesh, which is really religion, then, you know, I'm going to walk in defeat. But as long as I recognize that no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me, and be a vessel for him to live in, then the victory has already been won. It's finished. It's a done deal. And that's where the quagmire is in my life, I must say. You know, I can't speak for everyone, but I know God is no respecter of person. So, for everybody. That's just what I just wanted to say. I want to thank what she said, because that really it really blessed me. And actually, like Jesus washed the apostles' feet, and Peter didn't want him to wash his feet. He said, "No, let it be so." See, I've come to understand that Sister there, just then, she washed my feet. You know, Christ washed my feet through her, because the feet is my feet is what comes in contact with the world and my daily comings and goings and so forth. Maybe not so much sinning, but just dealing with this wretched world that goes out here and touches the earth and touches this world. And so it needs washing. And so that's what we do. We wash each other's feet by blessing us with a pure word. It refreshes us because, you know, when you get your feet washed, it tends to revitalize your whole body. And so she washed my feet, and because I had a very stressful day today. And I just
wanted to... Brother, I'd like to say something else that might bless you even more. You know, when I had that whole situation going on last night where I couldn't get comfortable, and I was playing chicken with the symptoms. I was saying, no, I'm not going to move. You move. You know, I shouldn't have to be moving around here accommodating you in the temple. You get out of my way, you know. And I said, Lord, you just care about every little thing. And, you know, I heard a voice come back to me and said, yes, I want to... And he said, yes, and it's all for free. That's what I heard. And so now when I walk around the house and with every little issue that goes on in the body or in my situation, I said, well, Lord, you took care of it, and it's all for free. I can't earn it. I can't tie there. I can't, you know, apply my own sowing and reaping process to earn anything that you do for me. You just give it unconditionally. And it's also about word perfect. If you can believe it, all things are possible to those that believe. And, you know, I believe that we can kind of get back into the garden within ourselves where there is no where you're finished with sin, like 1 Peter 4:1 says, you know. You can. There is a place you can enter into where you're finished with sin. To me, that's where you become word perfect. And you don't, well, you don't say, well, what if this or what if that? No, you're done with your what if, and you're speaking absolutely. The power of the enemy is absolutely destroyed. You are absolutely blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Every little need that you have is met. The power of the enemy is completely annihilated and destroyed. You're basically the sum total of what you perceive right now. If you believe there's warfare in the temple, then you've just anointed it, and the warfare picks up again. But if you say, well, no, because that couldn't be it, because the power of the enemy is destroyed, and I have peace with you, so now where does that put us, Lord? Back in the garden, so to speak, you know, where we're having fellowship, peaceful. You're eating your spiritual food undisturbed, because the carnal mind is the one in the temple claiming to be God. And it's us. It's just, the sanctification process is all about that. It's about eliminating or sanctifying us from that table of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. It's purifying it. And so, and it's causing us to enter into Christ, where we receive our food from the Father that's alive and powerful. And He's the one doing the works through us. We can't do anything because we don't got any power or godliness. His is the kingdom, the glory, and the honor, and the power. So you just receive His word in power and let Him move through you, and you just rest and take a free ride, you know?
Hey, I'd like to say something here, if I might, and I don't want to make anybody mad, and I don't want anybody to take offense to it. I know that some of you are new here, but as far as interrupting a brother talking. Let's wait until they have finished before we interrupt them. Allow them to get their thought across.
If I did that, I so apologize.
Oh no, that's okay. He was right in the middle of a sentence, but that's okay. We learn. And we would like to limit our, and I don't want to, this is a very touchy subject, and David has a teaching on it, and it's called Women, Authority. What's the other one? Women, Authority, and Teaching, or something like that. And to, as gently and as gracefully as I can, I allow a lot of leeway in here, in this fellowship. Tim and I both do. We must adhere to the Word of God. We must. We can only adhere to the Word of God. And so, therefore, we don't allow women to teach to men in this fellowship. I think most of you, if not all of you, have heard the teachings on that. And I'm not getting on Leona. She's one of two or three that have done this in the past, and it's getting a little bit hairy for me. and it's by design that we have that God has it that way. And so let's go ahead and limit our comments and discussions to just that, comments and discussions. And let's try to steer away from teaching and just allow the mature men to go ahead and do the teaching, if you don't mind. And I would appreciate it. And I know Tim would. So I'm sorry to have...
I really apologize. I mean, it's kind of, it's kind of feels like you're encouraging us to speak, and I know we're all disciples, and I know we're all learners and followers. That means we're being taught by the Lord. So
yeah.
When I speak, I tend to be like my own master, and that's the way I speak. But when you invite women or men to speak, I think, I mean, maybe that's why.
No, as long as you have a testimony, as long as you have a word from the Lord, that is absolutely acceptable. It's when we get into teaching that, you know, things get a little bit hairy. So, and, you know, I have been, both of us have been real lenient in the past. So let's just kind of keep it at that, is comments and testimonies and prophecies. Yeah, absolutely. If God gives you a word, my goodness, who am I to stop any woman from giving a word from God? But as far as teaching, we're going to have to kind of limit that in a great way. And if it's, like you said, if you're commenting on what God has shown you, that's fine. That's fine. That is absolutely fine. But anyway, I apologize for interrupting everybody here.
I also apologize. And I mean, everything that I just said, I've been taught by the Lord. And
sure.
And I wouldn't want to do anything to hurt anybody, you know, or be disrupted or nothing like that. I feel humble right now, and I do apologize. And
We love you, girl.
I'm just going to just sit over here like a church mouse, and I'm going to just wait to see what the Lord has to say about all this, because I'm not quite sure. And I'll put it before the Lord, and I'll see what he has to say to me.
Amen. That's a good way to do it, Leona. That's a good way to do it. Praise God.
Thank you, David.
Okay, Albert, you got some more you'd like to add?
Well, first, I'd like to say I do appreciate Leona's humility. That shows God is definitely moving in her life. I've been in some Bible study sessions outside of UBM, and I saw people get offended by what you just brought in truth and in love, Brother Mike. So I'm really blessed by the Spirit of the Lord being so richly in this Bible study. And I just want to say thank you, Leon, for humbling yourself and submitting yourself to the Word of God like you just did. But back to what I was saying previously, what you have done this evening, sister, is allow Jesus to wash everyone's feet on this call. From our daily, as I'm sure everyone has had, they've been out in the world and today and dealing with their daily activities. And we all need to wash each other's feet. Hopefully, I'll be able to wash your feet through, you know, or the Lord will be able to wash your feet through me. And I know Brother Mike has washed my feet, Brother Tim, Michael Montana. Jesus washes feet through him quite a bit. And so it's all about being vessels to be used by the Lord and not in our own flesh. I found that doctrine really doesn't change lives. You can have a person that has wonderful oratorical skills and can say big fancy words and been to theology school and done all of these worldly, fleshly things. And we can be truly impressed with that type of a person. But lives don't be changed. Because what changes people's lives is when someone has experienced Christ for themselves and share that experience with others. That's where lives are changed. It doesn't come from head knowledge and understanding doctrine and dates and maps of the Middle East and it comes from actually experiencing Christ in your own life. And I think that's something that is very profound. In our body fellowships, and so that's why, you know, the Lord has me logging on with you guys as much as possible, and I'm learning more and more to keep my mouth shut and allow Jesus to feed me through you guys. So that's all I gotta say, Mike.
Thank you, Albert. Thank you, too, Leona. That was very, very humble and very sweet, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Okay, anybody else? All right. Tim, you got something you'd like to share or say?
Yeah, I was just going to, you know, as far as with the situation with Leona, because really what was happening is she was sharing testimony and getting excited and kind of got into teaching and back into testimony and that. And you know, when the Lord's showing you something and you're bringing forth what the Lord is showing you, you're excited about it. But when, you know, it kind of folds back in and out of teaching. And we just want to be, you know, we're trying to just stay with lined up with the Word, and you know, it's fine to share testimonies or, you know, with, you know, Lord is showing you and stuff like that. But when you start actually bringing forth, you know, just, you know, teaching in the word or that. It's just, because what you're doing, you're kind of sharing a testimony, but you're kind of flowing in and out of the teaching. And so just, you know, I mean, it was just something that, you know, I just don't want any offense or anything like that to come in, but, you know, just seek the Lord and you know, it's all good. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all of the people's sweet spirit here, Lord, and the love that you've shown in our hearts for each other, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for having a fellowship here that it longs to walk that road that you've sent for us, Lord, that you've asked us to walk, Lord. Sometimes we don't like it, but we have to do things sometimes that we don't like to do, like kill the flesh. But Father, we just praise you and we rejoice, Lord, always in what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Testimony, praise report, prayer request, prophecy, word of knowledge? You know,
I guess I'd like to share, we're getting close to holiday season again, and some of us have to maybe get closer. Relatives are not always around, especially if they're not in the same spirituality we are, I'd say, with Christianity. Some of them are probably still in Babylon. And so, you know, now is the time to try to be weak again. It's difficult sometimes. I just wanted to bring that to people's attention. I'm going to be going through that. So I just recently had to go through a situation again. It's kind of hard. And I had a hard time with it. You know, it probably went against my flesh, but also went against what I know to be right and wrong scripturally. So I had to wrestle with that. Again, I have my sons still living at home, both my sons. And they're old. They're old enough to make decisions for themselves, but still young men, but still under my household. And I haven't been to the Babylon church for a number of years, and they quit bothering me, but they decided to bother my son last week. And it actually was through my brother-in-law, who has a elder position of some kind of an elder, I guess you would say, in the church. And they bypassed me and just called him up directly and kind of pressured him in a little bit of a strong-arm tactic, in a sense that, hey, I haven't seen you in church in a while, and I'm calling on behalf of the church. And I think you should probably maybe come to Bible study pretty soon, don't you? I kind of, you know, I'm going to twist your arm a little bit. And it's from his uncle, so, oh, yeah, geez, you know, guilt came in. I felt convicted, he said. And so he went, and I said, well, after we talk, I said, well, Aaron, I said, do you feel like you were pressed to do this? He said, yeah, a little bit. I said, okay. I said, well, that's not Christ. So that's what religion will do, but that's not Jesus. Jesus won't push you that. He will maybe convict you of things, but he's not going to push you into a place to go, where to worship. He might direct you, but he's not going to push you. So for me, that was kind of difficult because I know what I have the right to say and how to say it, but I am trying not to stir things up in the family either, you know. I've already had this conversation with my wife, of course, and she really wasn't too receptive of that because when you're still in Babylon, it's hard to see through the fog. You don't see over the trees. You just see Babylon. But so I'm just going to say, you know, we're getting into time. Again, the seasons are coming up, Thanksgiving, Christmas. Many of us have relatives in Babylon, and It's a very hard thing to week when they maybe don't know the rules. They don't realize headship. They don't recognize official authority, how it works. They think the church in their ways just overrun everybody else's. And that's hard, especially when we're in a position where we see a different leadership. We understand the way it's going to go and it's not going their way, but they still, you know, it's the old way, the old guard's still there. So I just wanted to say that real quick.
Amen. Sometimes it's hard. It really is. But, you know, we all want to walk that narrow road that God's put us on. So we do it in spite of what the world or the flesh thinks. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else got anything they'd like to share? Well,
Hi. Before you share with us further, I'm sorry. I was trying to get unmuted here, and I was having the hardest time, but okay. I finally got through. So I just wanted to share very quickly that I appreciate what you shared tonight, Brother Michael, and for just bringing correction the way you did, with much love and much gentleness. And I thank you, Brother Tim, as well for sharing what you did. And I just want to say that I stand in agreement with both of you, and I just appreciate, you know, the correction that you brought and the spirit with which you brought it. And it is biblical, and I, for one, absolutely support it. So I just wanted to say thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Angie. Well, as I was saying earlier, about 3 or 4 years ago, I shared this on the conference call, and I wanted to do it again. The Lord brought it back to my attention earlier, and it's real applicable to what's going on. And matter of fact, I think Michael Montana has mentioned this a couple of times throughout the last few months. I don't, at least once I know of, I think. But it's the prophecy by Stanley Frodsham in 1965. Now, this was 55 years ago that he had this prophecy. And I'm going to read it. It's not that long. I'm going to read it, and I think it'll show you what God was telling us way back then. And it won't take long, I think. It's called A Solemn Prophetic Warning. It says, "It is written, despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good." That's in 1 Thessalonians 5:20. The following are excerpts from prophetic words given to one who was under a heavy anointing. We believe all who read these solemn prophetic warnings should take diligent heed to them. Believe in the Lord your God, so you shall be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. 2 Chronicles 20:20. He says, great darkness is coming upon the countries that have heard my gospel. Is that the United States? That's the United States. But no longer walk in it. That's the United States. My wrath shall be manifested against all ungodliness. It shall come with great intensity. My judgments are literal and not a thing to be lightly passed over. Before I visit the nations in judgment, I will begin at my house. When I do cause my wrath to come upon the cities of the world, my people shall be separate. I desire a people without spot or wrinkle, and such shall be preserved by me in the time of my wrath, coming upon all iniquity and unrighteousness. Now, the wrath, of course, is different than God's judgment coming unto the church. Now, I just want you to know that. The tribulation is for the church. The wrath is for the unrighteous. That was me now. I said that. All right, we're going back to prophecy here. I am going to prepare you for the coming days by a hard path that will cause you to cry out continually unto me. For when the going is easy, men do not seek me, but rejoice in a temporary blessing. And when that blessing is removed, they so often turn this way and that way, but do not come to me. I am showing you these things that you may seek me continually and with great diligence. As you seek me, I will open up truths to you that you have not seen before, truths that will enable you to stand in the last days. Praise God for that, and he's doing it too. When I visit my people in mighty revival power, it is to prepare them for the darkness ahead. With the glory shall come great darkness, for the glory is to prepare my people for the darkness. I will enable my people to go through because of the visitation of my spirit. Take heed to yourselves, lest ye be puffed up and think that you have arrived. Listen to the messengers, but do not hold man's persons in admiration. Who's going to get the glory, y'all? That's God. Jesus is going to get the glory in these latter days. For many whom I shall anoint mightily with signs and miracles shall become lifted up and shall fall by the wayside. You ought to take heed to that. We need to be humbled, because anything that comes to us comes from God. Everything that comes to us comes from God. It ain't nothing that I can do. It ain't nothing that you can do. It's only what God can do through you. If God wasn't involved, you wouldn't be able to do it. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Okay, we'll get back to the prophecy. I do not do this willingly. I have made provision that they might stand. I call many into this ministry and equip them. But remember that many shall fall. They shall be like bright lights, and the people shall delight in them. But they shall be taken over by deceiving spirits and shall lead many of my people astray. Adhere to what the Word of God says and nothing else. If it ain't in the Word of God, it ain't of God. Hearken diligently concerning these things, for in the last days shall come seducing spirits. 1 Timothy 4:1. That shall turn many of my anointed ones away. That's people filled with the Holy Spirit that's going to turn away to seducing spirits he's talking about here. Many shall fall through diverse lusts and because of sin abounding. If you will seek me diligently, I will put my spirit within you. Ezekiel 36:27. When one shall turn to the right hand or to the left hand, you shall not turn with them, but keep your eyes wholly on the Lord. The coming days are the most dangerous, difficult, and dark, but there shall be a mighty outpouring of my spirit upon many cities, and many shall be destroyed. My people must be diligently warned concerning the days that are ahead. Many shall turn after seducing spirits. Many are already seducing my people, and that's the truth. It is those who do righteousness that are righteous. Many cover sins by great theological words, but I warn you of seducing spirits who instruct my people in an evil way. There's a lot of false prophets out there. A lot of wolves in sheep clothing out there that are preaching another Jesus throughout this world. And we have to be very diligent in the Word of God and knowing what it says in order to be not deceived. Amen. Many shall come with seducing spirits and hold out lustful enticements. And you will find that after I have visited my people again, the way shall become more and more narrow, and fewer shall walk therein. But be not deceived, the ways of righteousness are my ways. For though Satan come as an angel of light, hearken not to him. For those who perform miracles and speak not righteousness are not of me. And I warn you with great intensity that I am going to judge my house and have a church without spot or wrinkle when I come. I desire to open your eyes and give you spiritual understanding that you may not be deceived, but may walk in uprightness of heart before me, loving righteousness and hating every evil way. Look unto me, and I will make you to perceive with the eyes of the Spirit that things that lurk in darkness, that are not visible to the human eye, Let me lead you in this way, that you may perceive the powers of darkness and then battle against them. It is not a battle against flesh and blood, for if you battle in that way, you accomplish nothing. But if you let me take over and battle against the powers of darkness, then they are defeated. And then liberation is brought to my people. I warn you to search the scriptures diligently concerning these last days. For the things that are written shall indeed be made manifest. There shall come deceivers among my people in increasing number, who shall speak forth the truth and shall gain the favor of the people. For the people shall examine the scriptures and say, what these men say is true. And then, when they have gained the hearts of the people, then and then only shall they bring out these wrong doctrines. Therefore I say that you should not give your hearts to men, nor hold people's persons in admiration. The only one that we need to uplift, y'all, is Jesus. He's going to get the glory, like I said before. For by these very persons shall Satan enter into my people. Watch for seducers, 1 Timothy 3:13 says. Do you think a seducer will brandish a new heresy and flaunt it before the people? He's going to speak the words of righteousness and truth and will appear as a minister of light, declaring the word. The people's hearts shall be won, and they will bring out their doctrines, and the people shall be deceived. The people shall say, did he not speak thus and thus? And did we not examine it from the word? Therefore he is a minister of righteousness. That he is now spoken, we do not see in the word. But it must be right, for the other things he spoke were true. How many times, this is just me again, how many times have denominations started out right on the right road, and then years down the road, they started getting deceit into their doctrines? Almost every one of them. Okay, getting back to Stanley here. Be not deceived, for the deceiver will first work to gain the hearts of many, and then shall bring forth his insidious doctrines. You cannot discern those who are of me and those who are not of me when they start to preach. But seek me constantly. And then when these doctrines are brought out, you shall have a witness in your heart that these are not of me. Fear not, for I have warned you. Many will be deceived, but if you walk in holiness and uprightness before the Lord, your eyes shall be opened, and the Lord will protect you. If you will constantly look unto the Lord, you will know when the doctrine changes, and you will not be brought into it. If your heart is right, I will keep you, and if you will look constantly to me, I will uphold you. The minister of righteousness shall be on this wise. His life shall agree with the word, and his lips shall give forth that which is wholly true, and it will be no mixture. When the mixture appears, then you will know he is not a minister of righteousness. The deceivers speak first the truth, and then error, to cover their own sins, which they love. Therefore, I exhort and command you to study the scriptures relative to seducing spirits. For this is one of the great dangers of these last days. I desire you to be firmly established in my word and not in the personality of men, that you will not be moved as so many shall be moved. I would keep you in the paths of righteousness. Take heed to yourselves and follow not the seducing spirits that are already manifesting themselves. Diligently inquire of me when you hear something that you have not seen in the word. And do not hold people's persons in admiration, for it is by this very method that Satan will hold many of his people. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, that you may triumph where I triumphed. On the cross I triumphed over all the powers of Satan, and I have called you to walk that same path. It is when your life is on the cross that you shall know the victory that I have experienced. as you are on the cross and seated in me, then you shall know the power of resurrection. And when I come in my glory, the principalities and powers in the heavenly places shall be broken. Fret not, for I have given you power, whereby you may tread down the powers of darkness and come forth victoriously. And it was on the cross that I triumphed over all the powers of the enemy. My life shall flow through you as you enter into these precious truths. Look unto me and appropriate my life. As your eyes and desires are toward me, and you know what it is to be crucified with me, then you shall live, and your anointing shall increase. It was not in my life that I walked upon the earth, but it was in my life when I was upon the cross that I openly spoiled principalities and powers. Colossians 2 and 15. I am showing you truth that shall cause you to overcome, to have power over the wicked. One truth that will liberate you and those around you. You shall know also the fellowship of my suffering. And there is no other way whereby you may partake of this heavenly glory and reign with me. If we suffer, we shall reign with him, 2 Timothy 2 and 12 says. I desire to make these truths real within you. And as you keep them before you, you will liberate many who are in bondage. You will have revelations of those in darkness and will have the keys to liberate the captives. Many seek to liberate, but they have not the keys. Upon the cross continually, you will know the power of my resurrection, that you may also partake of my glory. As you are willing to walk with me and rejoice in your sufferings, you shall partake of my glory. Look unto me, for you have need of power to overcome the wicked one and the bondages in other lives. If you will indeed judge yourself, you shall not be judged. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, as you seek my face and desire to be cleansed by me in all truth and sincerity of heart, I will judge you in the secret place. And the things that are in the secret place of your heart shall not be manifest to others. I will do it in the secret place, and no man shall know it. And the shame that shall be seen on many faces shall not be seen on your face. Therefore, in love and mercy, I am instructing you. And therefore, have I said that if a man judge himself, he shall not be judged. It is not my good pleasure that the shame of my people be seen by all. How can I judge the world if I judge not first my own house? Hearken unto these things I'm telling you. If you will not hearken to me, your shame shall be evident to all. I would have you consider my life on earth. The anointing upon me was great, yet the temptations were great on every side, in one form and then in another. Offering me first the glory of the kingdoms of the earth, and then reviling and persecuting me. There will be great glory given to my people, and yet the temptations shall be intensified from every side. Think not that with the glory there shall be no temptations or persecutions. The glory to my church shall be great. And so shall the temptations from the enemy to turn my people from my paths. I am warning you that when the glory shall be manifested, the temptations shall be great, until very few that start shall finish. Did y'all hear that? Until very few that start shall finish. First there shall be offered them great worldly possessions, and then great revilings and unbelief. Consider your Lord, that as he walked, so it shall be for you. There shall be need of great intensity of purpose. At times everyone shall rise up against you, simply to turn you from the course that I'd put you on. It is written of me that I set my face as a flint to go the direction my Father had prescribed for me. And if you will finish the course the Lord has laid down for you, you will have to set your face as a flint with great determination. You must walk in the course laid down for you. Many of your loved ones and those who follow with you shall persuade you and try to turn you from the course. With many words that seem right in the natural will they speak to you. Did not Christ rebuke Peter, who would turn him from the course God had prescribed? Understand these two things and meditate upon them solemnly. The persecution and the darkness shall be as great as the glory. In order to try to turn the elect and the anointed one from the path the Lord has laid down for them, many will start, but few shall be able to finish because of the greatness of grace that shall be needed to be able to endure unto the end. The temptation and persecution of your Lord was continuous. He was tempted by Satan in many forms throughout his entire life, and even on the cross when the ungodly cried out, "If thou be the Christ, come down from the cross." Think not that there shall be a time of no persecution, for it shall be from the time of your anointing unto the end difficulties and great persecution to the end. The Lord must prepare you to be an overcomer in all things, that you may be able to finish the course. The persecution shall increase even as the anointing shall increase. In paths of judgment and righteousness shall the Lord God lead his people and bring them into that place which he has chosen for them. For the Lord has chosen a place for his people, a place of righteousness and holiness, where he shall encamp round about them, and all who will be led of the Lord shall be brought into this holy place. For the Lord delights to dwell in his people and to manifest himself through his people. The holiness of the Lord shall be manifested through his people. Praise be the Lord. Let the Lord lead you in difficult places. He led his people of old through the places where no man dwelt, where no man had passed through, in a place of great danger and in the shadow of death. The Lord will indeed lead his people through such places, and yet he will bring them out into a place of great glory. Understand that the way toward the glory is fraught with great danger, and many shall fall to the right or to the left. Many shall camp on lesser ground, but the Lord has a place of holiness, and no unclean thing shall dwell among his people. Put your trust in him, and he will bring you into a place of holiness. He desires to bring his people into great glory, the like of which has never been seen. What the Lord will do for those who put their trust in him, it is a place of darkness and great danger that separates his people into the place he would have them walk in. He will protect them from the voices that will turn them from his path. He will bring them through the dark places and through the treacherous paths out into the light of his glory. Praise be to God. He will rejoice greatly over his beloved and cause you to be filled with joy unspeakable. He seeks to lead his people into a new place of grace and glory where he will indeed encamp among them. Put your trust in him, and he will surely bring you into this new place. Fear not the days to come, but fear this only, that you shall walk in a manner pleasing to the Lord. In this time I am ordering and setting up my church, and it shall indeed be pure without spot or wrinkle. And I will do a work in my beloved that has not been seen since the foundation of the world. I have shown you these things that you may seek the Lord diligently with all your heart, and that you may be a preserver of his people. Run not to this one nor to that one, for the Lord has so ordained that salvation is in him, and in him alone. You shall not turn to this shepherd or to that one, for there shall be a great scattering upon the earth. Therefore, look unto him, for he will indeed make these things clear to you. You shall not look here nor there, for wells that once had water shall be no more. But as you diligently seek him, he shall increase your strength and your faith, that he may be able to prepare you for this time that is coming. The truths that I have revealed to you must become a part of you, not just an experience, but a part of your very nature. Is it not written that I demand truth in the inward parts? It is the truth of the Lord expressed in your very being that shall hold you. Many shall experience the truth, but the truth must become a part of you, your very life. As men and women look upon you, they will hear not only the voice, but see the expression of the truth. Many shall be overcome because they are not constant in my ways and because they have not permitted the truth to become part of them. I am showing you these truths that you may be prepared and having done all to stand. Oh, praise be to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Any comments?
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Brother Michael.
Well, I'll just share a little that kind of stirred up a little bit in my spirit. I just want to say, you know, I think of that scripture that, you know, in John 8 when he says, verily I say unto you, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And this is an hour when I believe that the great dealing that's going on. He talked about judgment beginning at the house of God, and we know that we've all heard much about that subject. But it's going to come into every one of our hearts, and the Lord is looking deeper than the externals. You know, it says in the scripture, the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the very thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. When you look in the scriptures and realize that, I mean, 17th chapter, I think it is, Jeremiah, when he said, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? The wilderness dealings of God, you know, when the Lord spoke in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy and said, thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you, suffered you to hunger, fed you with manna that you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This wilderness dealing that God has his people in, and really what happens there is he says they may know what's in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. The revealing that God brings through these wilderness dealings is a complete exposure of what's really there. And I like one verse, and I think it's 1 Corinthians 3. I won't go into the whole thing, but the part that says, and the day shall declare it, for it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he will suffer loss, yet he himself saved as by fire. But the thing is, this is a time, one brother spoke years ago, and he said, I have a formula for these end days, and that's crisis reveals, an absolute crisis absolutely reveals. And it says, I like that scripture, I think it's in Haggai, when he says, yet a little while, and I shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, the dry land, and I'll shake all nations. The Lord says, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. Everything that's really there is going to be revealed. And the consolation we have right now, we've got to be careful, because the Lord spoke and he said, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And we've been exposed to much of what Christendom in this nation esteems highly. And I have a strong sense that what they esteem highly is what God does esteem not at all. And I look at the scripture when it says in, I think, maybe 11 or 12 in Matthew, but he says something to this effect. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest for your souls. I really believe that one of the things that's so put forth in this nation, in the world, it's the world thrives on it. The church thrives on it. And I say that, or the world's church, or the church organized religion, and that is the esteem and praises of men, to be somebody, to be known, to be seen, to be heard, to have some recognition before man. But remember that Jesus, I think it's in John 5, that he said, I don't even receive honor from men. I will not. And he says, how can you believe this, that receive honor from men and not the honor that comes from God only? We need to be in a place, brothers and sisters, the safe place in this time is in humility and in mercy. We need to come to a place where we seek the honor that comes from God. It doesn't matter whether we're loved or hated, whether we speak, hold our peace, go or stay, live or die. It's irrelevant. If we may have a testimony at the end of this race that we please God like Enoch had, that's the only thing that matters in this world. It's the only thing, what's the greatest words that can ever be heard by a human being, ever, is well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of God. There's so many things. The deception is, it says, if a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let a man prove his own work, and then will he have rejoicing in himself and not in another. You know, it says in the scripture, if you be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourself. John the Beloved comes out and he says, brethren, be not deceived. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil. The Lord wants to bring us to a place where we're not making excuses, where we're getting before God and we're doing serious business with God. We're getting honest with him. God doesn't have a problem with a smoking flax or a bruised reed. He doesn't have a problem with somebody that comes and they have fractured this or that. But he does have a problem with guile. And we need to come to a place where we come before the living God with an absolute heart of integrity and say, Lord God, I'm hiding nothing. I want to come and be totally and brutally honest with you as much as I possibly know in my own heart. And I want to do business with God. And because the bottom line is it's not a time for excuse. It's not a time for play acting, which is what the word in hypocrisy in the Greek means, is play acting. Just putting on a little show before people, what they think, what men think. It's easy to please men. But the living God is searching the very thoughts and intents of the heart, every single secret of the heart. The day comes, it says, when the secrets of men's hearts will be revealed. That which is done in secret will be shouted on the housetop. The day comes when he says, every idle word that men shall speak, they give account thereof on the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Trees are known by their fruits. Good trees don't bring forth evil fruit. Evil trees do not bring forth good fruit. It's by the fruits that you know them. And the Lord doesn't want just a theological position of righteousness, just a theological position of all of the right thinking. He wants our lives to be consistent, that what we think with our mind, what we speak with our words, what we do in our life, when we're all by ourselves and there's nobody else around. Are you okay if everything in heaven is privy to it? Because they are. We're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses at everything that's being watched. I saw a picture one time of that they had a painting. It was quite an amazing painting. It was of the Colosseum in Rome, and they had the Christians being chewed up by lions, and they had this great auditorium or these great spectators all around, and then they had a giant heavenly spectator arena that was watching the whole thing from a higher level, and that's really what's going on. It's a time, brothers and sisters, there's not going to be any deception in the day. God is going to, if we are only what's in Christ is going to stand the fire of what's to come. Only what's established, what is reality in our experience. I heard a brother say, a message prepared in a mind will reach a mind. A message prepared in a life will reach a life. We can only impart the reality that we're walking in. It really is irrelevant. God's looking for truth on the inward parts. He wants us to be 24 karat, not plated goods. He wants everything, what we are, what we think, what we speak, to be Christ. This is not an imitation of divine life. It's a place where we, like a corn of wheat, Jesus said it, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. We are that corn of wheat. And God has called us to be planted. That means to lose your life. It means to be not seen anymore. That little seed is never seen again. But a new life feeds off of it. And it's underground, completely obscure, never to be seen again. But out of it comes forth life. And that's what true resurrection life comes. It comes by the death of yours truly. And if we're ever going to see a manifestation of Jesus Christ, it's going to be by the death of yours truly. As we come to a place where we yield to the process of the cross in truth, where we cry out to God and we plead with God to judge us now, that we don't want to be judged later. We want right now to be standing on the rock Christ Jesus. We want the manifestation of these lives to be the resurrection life of Jesus manifest in us and through these vessels. And that the glory of God would be seen, but it's going to be seen as we decrease, as we disappear. And I just really want to encourage you, because this is a time when we underestimate the intensity of the hour we come into. I'm convinced of it in my heart that we fully underestimate. I used to sit there. I remember there was a time in my life where I was memorizing portions of the Martyr's Mirror, Fox's Book of the Martyrs, and it was all of my heart. I said, that's me. I'm there. I'm right there. I'm ready. I'm right now ready. Light the torch, you know. And, you know, shortly after that, I went into a season where such a terrible exposure of my heart took place. I was appalled at the terrible capacity of my own heart. And I think sometimes we really don't know what's there, and we need to come. If we want to have a comparison, a light, a real revealing comparison, we don't compare ourselves with people. We need to come into the light of God's presence, because there, flesh cannot glory in the presence of God. God is light. And everything that is revealed is made manifest by light, it says in the scripture. He that does evil hates light, neither comes to it. It's so easy to be involved with many busy things for God. But coming into his presence, that's a rough road to hoe, to really come to a place where you've learned to wait before God, because in there something dies in the presence of God. You know, they had a glimpse of it, and when they said, you go find out what he wants, they told Moses, and we'll do what he wants, but we don't want to come into his presence lest we should die. And you're right, there's a death takes place there. Those people were right. But God wants that death. It's got to take place. The death of yours truly is going to take place as we behold the glory of God, as we come into the presence of God and allow the dealings of his presence in our life. It says, as we behold him, we're changed into that image from glory to glory. The change takes place as we behold the Lord. It's not going to take place by more study, by more knowledge, even by knowing more of the book. That's important. But to come to a place where we have found our joy in the presence of the living God, and there we will change. There we will have the light will reveal the dark secrets of our heart. Every closet of our heart will be revealed, and it will be painful. Having our hearts revealed is one of the most terrible things. That's why it says, he that does evil hates light, but he that doeth truth will come to it, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. But he said, this is the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And that's there's a war in our soul. Coming into the light is a very hard thing. It's so much easier to be busy for God, to do something, to go out. But to just learn to wait before the presence of the mighty God, there's a death that takes place there. But if you ever want to see the resurrection of the life of God in you, that's the death that must take place.
Amen. Amen. We're coming into a time that we need to get right with the Lord. We need to get like Michael was talking about, the word is fine and it is good. That's something we all need to be renewing our mind with, is the word. But it's next to God that we need to be, so we can hear that voice, so we can understand the voice of God directing our ways and keeping us into that righteous walk and keeping us into that narrow walk. Amen.
Michael, one more comment.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I just want to say this one thing. I just want to bring to your remembrance the scripture. We're so familiar with it, but I really believe it's the key to the life that God wants us to live, and it's the one in Philippians when he says, and if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded one toward another, having the same mind, being of one accord, and having the same love one for another, being of one accord in one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things only, but every man on the things of another. Let this mind be in you, that was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow, of things in the earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I really believe that that's the road that God wants us all to take. It's the humility and in mercy and brokenness before God, serving one another, walking in love, walking in humility, because the greatest is the least. Yeah, the least in this world is the greatest in the kingdom, and the greatest among you is the servant of all.
Amen. That's what Christ said. He said, a Christian is a man who is never to seek his own will, but he is always seeking the will of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Come on now. There ought to be some comments going on here with all that Michael said.
Are you going to post that prophecy someplace that you read tonight, Michael?
I think it's on the site, David, but I'll check to make sure. Yeah, it's Stanley Frodsher, 1965 prophecy. Just type in Stanley Frodsher on the site search, and it should come up. I'll check to make sure, though, when I get off and make sure it's on there. I'm almost certain it is, yeah.
And, Mike.
Yes, Albert.
What was the name of the movie that the sister missed?
Well, it was a, Leona, what was the name of that health thing, that health documentary?
It was called Forks Over Knives.
One more time.
Fork, you know, like a spoon and a fork.
Mm-hmm. Over knives.
Over knives.
I got you.
That's interesting. That's pretty interesting. Fork over knives.
Would that by chance possibly be on Netflix?
Yes, it is. I believe that's where we saw it, on somebody's Netflix.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You'd rather heal yourself with your fork than go to the surgeon's knife.
Oh, my.
Okay.
And what you read from again, that was Stanley who, Mike?
His name is Stanley Frodsham. F as in Frank, R-O-D as in Delta, S-H-A-M, Frodsham, 1965. Yeah, Chad?
The name of the title of the prophecy on the site is called A Solemn Prophetic Warning.
Right.
Okay.
I think you'll find it by looking for that on there. I think that would be the easiest way to find it.
Okay. All right. Yep.
Thank you.
And that was in 1965, Albert. God was warning us. He's been warning us for a long time. And now it's come down. And now it's come down to where we're going to have to either do it or get deceived, it looks like.
And that blessed me tremendously, what you read. Thank you, man.
Yep. All right, anybody else? Well, all right. Yep, that's a solemn prophetic warning, and it's very appropriate for right now. He's telling us to get close to God, just like Michael was telling us. We need to get as close to God as God will allow, and he will allow us to become his friend, just like Enoch was and just like Abraham was. He'll allow it. But we have to have the want to in our heart to do it. We have to sacrifice self in order to get into that place. Self, flesh, and the world has to go. And when you get into that place, you'll be glad you did. I'm looking to go into that place. Now listen, I hadn't arrived anywhere near what I want God to do in my life. I want to be in that place where I can hear God at 24/7. And that's where God wants us. He wants us to be listening for him 24/7. And when we understand that he is talking to us through many ways, he talks to us through many ways, then we're going to pick up on every little old thing that comes around. Got to get rid of that carnal life, though. Go ahead, Albert.
I just said,
Michael. I'm sorry, Michael. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I heard a brother speak a word recently, and he said, if you don't put to death the things in your life that are not of God, they will put to death the things in your life that are of God.
Ooh, that's right.
Well, that's a good word. That's really a good word. Amen. Now, when you were sharing that that prophecy, it was talking about seducing spirits, and I was just really seeing where there's main, you know, line denominations that are just being controlled by, you know, seducing spirits. So, I mean, those seducing spirits have really taken hold in Christendom, you know, as far as that. There's, I mean, most of the church is under a seducing spirit, it seems. And I just see that, you know, he wants us in a place of holiness. And that's why we're going through the trials we're going through, because we're trying to sell out and be overcomers and that. And, you know, and we're, you know, and he's training us up, you know, he's getting that uncleanness out of us. He's getting that, you know, pride and arrogance and all those, all that self out of us. And, you know, he's kind of opening us up and exposing, you know, what's in our mind, what's in our thoughts, you know, what's in our, you know, what's in our will, what we're being driven by. And, and it's, you know, sometimes it's difficult, you know, like Michael said, is, I mean, when you really, so be opened up in front of the Lord and just have all that stuff exposed, it's not a fun thing. And, but that's on that path of holiness. And, you know, when he was talking about the path is getting narrow as we go down this, you know, this in his way, his path is getting narrower, and, more darkness is, you know, out there in the world, and the path is getting narrower, and so we got to just keep, you know, our focus straight, you know, because if we keep our focus straight on the light, that light's getting brighter. And but there's a lot of distractions in the world, and there's a lot of stumbling blocks on the way. That's why we can't look to the left or to the right. We just got to stay focused, and he'll bring us into that place of holiness. But it is a narrow, thin path right now. So that was an awesome word, Mike Montana. I really enjoyed it.
Amen. You know, if Christians understood and believed that God is a fountain of great happiness, of everlasting blessedness, what do you reckon the result would be? If every Christian would say in his heart, the more I can have of God, the happier I'm going to be. The more of God's will and the more of God's love and the more of God's fellowship, the happier I'm going to be. And if Christians believed that with their whole heart, you know, they'd give up everything that would separate them from God. If you believe that God would make you free and happy above anything else in the world, you'd give up that worldly life and that fleshly life, wouldn't you? Well, that's what he's told us he's going to do. We'll be free from all of these worldly clutches and these fleshly clutches that keep us in bondage to the world and keeps us tied to the flesh life. But when we come to that place where we seek God with our whole heart, then that stuff will start falling off you like water on the duck's back. All right, before we go out of here, we're running out of time here. Does anybody have any prayer requests or any final comments they'd like to make? Well, Father, ooh, Lord, it's been a good night. And I praise you, Lord, for the great words that you've given through Michael and Albert and everybody else, Lord. And I thank you for them, Father. I praise you, Lord, that you are bringing us into that place to where we want nothing but you, Lord. We want nothing but you. And let nothing stand in our way, Lord, to attaining that glorious time with you, Lord, where you talk with us and you instruct us and you lead us all the while, Lord, in these days to come, so that we won't be deceived at all by these seducing spirits, Lord. And I praise you, Father, for all the work you're doing in every one of us. Give us a good night's sleep tonight. And Lord, bless each one of us tomorrow and the next day as well, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Good night, all, and we love you.